Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Shepherd's Church. That's a wonderful noise. Not noise in the sense of that it's chaotic or that it's bad, but noise in a good sense that everybody is fellowshipping, enjoying each other's company, and it's a wonderful thing. So I enjoy it. Thankful for it, and so let's get started. So I'm TJ. You're at the Shepherd's Church. If you meant to be at another church, you're not allowed to leave. You're here for the next 4 hours, okay? Nathan's going to take three of that. So. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. You know, I was talking to someone earlier that we have sunshine. I was like, I thought this was the sunshine state, and we haven't had it. And this morning it was very beautiful. I asked Amanda, I said, hey, can I open the blinds? Because she's more of the ones like, I don't like the blinds open. I'm like, I got to let the light in because it was gorgeous this morning. So it's so good to have you this morning. Some announcements. We have the guys' night. Last Friday we had planned on it, but we didn't want to be icicles. And so we're going to do it this Friday. And hopefully, what's the weather? The weather looks good?
Freezing.
No rain? Freezing. There we go. David won't be there, but it's okay. He'll be Skyping in, or he'll be Zooming in. But so we'll have that this Friday, this coming up Friday. It'll be north of Baker, and all the gentlemen are, I pray that you, if you can make it, please come out there, because I know it'll be a great time of fellowship. Hopefully we won't horse around too much and hurt each other. That's not what we want from this, so make sure that we're not throwing each other around. But it's going to be a great time to be together, live life together, be outside. Someone was telling me, Jeff was telling me about an instance where someone said, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to catch food, we're not going to worry about bringing any, but the leaders did. So don't worry about that, bring some food, please. So be prepared for that and just continue to pray. You know, wives and ladies, pray for your husbands that this will be a glorious time for the Lord. And that we just don't fool around the whole time, but that we get to share our love for the Lord. Also, I don't know, I know that the people in my group, in growth group, but if you're not part of a growth group, we have one for you. It's a way into where we can break it up. It's still the church, broken up to where we can read the Word of God, apply it to our lives, and hold each other accountable. It's a beautiful opportunity that we get to be in community together. Because I want you to understand that I think that America has really turned our view and the culture in which we live in is that we're island. Is that it's what I want to do. It's where I want to do this, I want to do that. And what this does is it helps us understand that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And just because you get agitated at someone doesn't mean you just leave. Or you just, I don't want to go to that group. It encourages me whenever I'm with somebody that it says doesn't agree the same way, and we can work it out. But understand that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and this grows us closer together. That relationship grows us closer to God with that relationship. So I just encourage you, if you're not, please touch base with Jeff or Nathan or just with me, and we can bring everybody to our house, okay? That's all I got. Thanks, Mandy. Okay, so let's get started this morning. I don't believe there's any other announcements that I know of, but if you would, please stand. And if I won't take your slogan, but if you would, open your Bibles to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. In this psalm from David, I want you to be able to open your eyes, open your mind, open your heart to see what he is praying to the Lord about. I want you to humble yourself and understand where your help comes from. I want you to understand who you are, not based off of what the world tells you, but what God tells you. He is the only one that's going to direct you in that. This world will steal your joy and leading you down a path that is not helpful, that is leading you down a path that is leading to destruction. And I want you to see the seriousness in David's psalm. So Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when, as yet, there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would be with us now. And opening our eyes, opening our hearts, opening our minds to your truth, laying us bare, and that you would search us. Search our hearts of iniquity. Search our hearts of what we've done wrong against you. Search our hearts of the wrong that we've done to other people. Father, and that we submit that at the cross, and that we beg for your forgiveness, and that we repent and run the other way. And Father, may our hope not be in this world, but in you, everlasting. Father God, help us to come together as a body of believers, sisters and brothers, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, loving you more and more together, loving you more and more as a single person, understanding who you are and who we are in light of you. We love you. Let us worship this day you, the Trinity, and all that you've called us to. In Jesus' name.
You remain standing. So we're going to get an opportunity to praise the Lord together in Psalm. And I just want to give you a quick testimony. Yesterday, Saturday, was one of our practices that we have once a month. And before we got started practicing, Joey took the opportunity to give us some scriptures that she'd been reading through in the Psalms. One thing she pointed out to us was this. Guess what? Some of the Psalms she found as she was reading them, we were to sing before the Lord, but it was in front of each other. So there's a part of our praise is just between us and the Lord, but there's so many times where he says to do it in the midst of the congregation, and even in the midst of the wicked, is that our life is just lived always before this Lord, and it should be lived in a sense where we are glorifying him. So thank you, TJ, for reading the passage with us this morning. His glory starts with understanding who God is. He's fashioned us. He's made us. And now there's a very immediate and easy, should be an easy response, right? God made me. Okay, I'm going to glorify him for what? For what he's done in my life. I'm just going to glorify him for him, for who he is. So the first song we're going to sing, and this is Our God is an Awesome God. Out of here today with talking about what it means to glorify God. And so the next song is really an introduction to the whole message, but it's Here I Am to Worship. It's a reproach we should always have before God. Here I am before you, and here I am to worship you. So we want to give you the opportunity to be able to sing unto him.
Open my eyes, let me see.
Just ask yourself, what would it mean to go to your spouse and never communicate why you love them? It's an opportunity. It's a time in which we can say, listen, let the Lord hear from your voice what's communicating accurate truth about who he is and how you feel about him. It's a time to just accurately say, listen, God, here's some words that I affirm. Here's some words that I know from the innermost being of my soul. And the last one we're going to sing before we go to his word is, it's thy mercy, my God. And knowing that, even as we just sang this last song, is that I never know the cost, right? But I do know he's merciful. I do know it was a merciful act. And so we just go to God before him just saying, listen, it's accurate. You were merciful to me. And I'm here to worship you for that, for your mercy.
God, our Father, we come before you now God, we come with thankful hearts that we do have this time that is sacred. It is set apart. Lord God, we're asking that you sacralize our hearts in this moment, our minds, that in this moment you are setting apart Nathan to bring your word, the truth of your word to us. God, as I pray so often, I'm praying right now that through your Holy Spirit, you set his heart on fire with a passion for the truth of your word. God, make us thirsty this morning to drink from your word, to hear from your word, to prepare us, Lord God, to bring glory to your name as we live our lives outside of this room, outside of this time. God, I am asking this morning that we would not be unmoved by what we hear and see in your word. That we would not be unchanged. God, always that we would be coming together and knowing you more, knowing your word more, loving you more by what we see and hear in your word, not with some pithy story statements or anything like that, but oh God, what we see and hear from your word. And so we're asking this morning protection in all of our minds from distractions, wandering thoughts. Lord God, that you would bless. God, as I'm standing here with my brother, my heart is thankful that you have given me the privilege to serve this church, you, with Nathan. God, I'm so thankful for all the brothers and sisters gathering with us this morning. What a joy in my heart it is for us to be together, to hear all of the chatter and the fellowship this morning that is pure, is good, is wonderful. God, we praise you and we thank you for this. We ask that you bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. I so appreciate not only his prayers, but your prayers, and I agree with everything he just said. And guys, today we're going to be talking about what it means to glorify God. And I just want you to know that I am glad to be here. I'm glad to be here every Sunday. I really am. It is a joy of my life. I do not know where I would be without the Shepherd's Church in my life. I would pray that, and knowing in God's goodness, I would be at another church, in all honesty, of wherever God has called us, right? But every spot where God has given, especially the believers like this, it should be just the joy of our life to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ and to be in the context and be able to worship him. So I just want to thank you for availing yourself to the Lord. And just as Jeff was even praying about just serving him and being in a context of church that loves to serve him. So thank you. And as many of you that I have not had a chance to see just running around this morning, so glad for to see some of you guys here this morning that I haven't got to see in a while, and some that's here every Sunday. But I want to lay out a roadmap for you this morning. I want you to know where we're headed so that you can just kind of take some points within your own mind and know where we're going to be. And really with that, anytime you, to lay something out in a direction, and for you to be able to keep up with me, I really just want you to make sure right up front you know the destination. I really want you to know what I see when you walk out that door today. I've thought so many times, if they could just remember one point. if they just get one point. And in all honesty, if God works in their life in one way that, as Jeff said, that through the preaching of the word, if they can catch what God is saying in his word, and they will catch it into their soul, and then they will apply it. Man, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. So this morning, I want you to walk out of here with a passion to glorify God in your life. That's my destination, is that when you leave today, you walk out those doors and you say, you know what? I'm glad I was there today. I'm glad I put myself before the Word of God because I need more of a passion in my life to glorify him. And so how we're going to get there is we're going to spring from our text, which is in Acts chapter 22, which we're going to turn there in just a little bit. And we're going to stop at a couple of destinations on the way. And the first one we're going to see through the text is the direction that God gave specifically to Paul. We're going to see that there was a very clear direction that Paul received from the Lord. And then we're going to look at the results and the responses of that in Paul's life. And step three, yeah, guess what? We get to get to each other. Step three is us. Or stop three is us, and to see what direction, in all honesty, that God has given to you before we walk out and leave today. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And so to get you prepared, I want to ask you some questions to make sure that you're really tracking and that you're getting ready just to be able to receive the message. And that is, I would start with just asking the question, are you living with a passion to glorify God, right? If that's where I want you to be, first part, right up front, are you really living with this type of passion in your life? And how would you define it? If you really had to define it, because it should be definable, right? It should be noticeable in your life. If someone is glorifying God, and God is the one that is being glorified, again, understand the words I'm using here. I'm not saying what do you do, in a sense, is but what has God done? How are you specifically glorifying him? Is it noticeable, and how often is it? And really, even for yourself, are you just starting now? Are you just in the beginning stages of glorifying God, right? Or have you been doing it for years and years and years? Wherever you're at, I pray that as you answer the question, I pray that it's growing. I don't think that God has ever called us to glorify him and it kind of just go up here, okay, we'll just flatten on out. We don't see that ever happening. Matter of fact, he tells us even into the heavens and into eternity, it's going to continue and continue and continue and continue. There's always going to be where there's a vacuum and we're getting sucked into further and further into the desire and the passion of seeing God's glory. So I want you to know what that looks like. In a sense, I want you to know what that is like in your own life. And so this morning, I really want to give you, in some way, I'll tie this in, but I want to share with you just a testimony. And really what I also want you to know is that I want you to know what it looks like in a sense. And I've come in here a couple of Sundays, and I've had the opportunity walking in on Javin playing the piano. Javin, if you don't mind, come on up for a second, man. I'm going to ask him to play something for us because this is a song in which, I don't know if it's the same song, but it's a song in which that I've heard him play. Many of you may not even know that Javin knows how to play the piano. Some of you do. If you don't know who Javin is, you wouldn't know that. But he can play. And what I've just asked him to do is, just before you, I just want you to hear as he just enjoys playing. We don't do things for production in a sense, but I told him to just enjoy playing the instrument as I know that you can. So, Javin, if you do, go right there. kid on Sunday morning and hear that going. Now put yourself in the context. If you were in his home and you heard him practicing early on and he couldn't hardly hit a note, I'm pretty sure he started that way. Put yourself in the context of watching him over the years and then playing before you and be able to hear that for the first time. Put yourself in the context of if you heard all, let's say this was years and years and years with a practice, and let's say this was a huge Carnegie Hall and he was playing before you, what would you leave with? You would leave with what you kind of have now is, Javon can play, right? Oh, he plays really good, and I enjoy it. You'd have a testimony about it, would you not? Would you not have something to say about what he just did? You would. Would you be able to define it? You would, wouldn't you? You'd absolutely be able to define his ability and even what you thought about it. It's definable. Everything in our life is definable. And what I know, one of the greatest songs about Javon's life, which I won't go into a lot of details, but I don't even know all the details. But I know Javon's come from quite a bit of adversity in his life. The greatest thing in Javon's life is he's got a song of Jesus Christ in his life that sings out even better than that. That's what I know. That he's a young man who's been redeemed by Christ. And I'll tell you who gets the glory for that is Jesus Christ. I'm just saying that's what I know. But even more than what I know is what I'm trying to get you to understand before we get into our text. You're never going to develop a passion to be able to glorify God if you can't answer the question if you can define it. If you can't define it, and it's not happening. If the piano keys are not being strummed, then what's going on? I'm just asking you to be real because I just want to lay myself before you. I'm real with myself, and I have to be every time I preach. That's one thing. And I'll tell you something. That's why I love to preach. Because God's going to lay me open. It's just going before his words is God is going to work within us. And what he is trying to get us to the point always to see that the substance of our affections is the glory of God. The substance is, listen to me, the substance of what it is God. Now the opportunity is your life. Your opportunity is your life that is given to you. God's going to be glory. God is glorified whether I live another day or not, or whether I lived on this earth or never came into this earth. The substance of God's glory is there. It's already there. But let's understand that when he created us, as we read, as TJ read for us this morning, is that when he created us, now he gave us the opportunity in which to be able to glorify him. And that's where we live. And so what I want you to do is I want this to come out of scripture for you. So I want you to understand what it looks like for Paul. We're going to start with Paul. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and as you're turning there, we're going to really not close out this section. As Jeff and I lay out, as we're going through large pieces of text, what you'll find is that this message really is going to continue and continue and continue because we're in a section of Scripture where Paul has lived his life before Christ and he has gone throughout strengthening the churches and now he's standing before Roman authorities and what's happening is he's giving an account of his life, and what you're going to see this morning is what he's really doing is just glorifying God. I want you to listen as I read this to Paul glorifying God. You may start to hear it and think, oh, this is what's happened to me in a sense. Listen, let me tell you what's happened to me. Now let me tell you about who God is. And so just listen as we read through 22 here. He says before them, he says, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born of Tarsus, Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of the Father's law, and was zealous towards God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness in all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Just for you following us, that was, he was going off, he was a religious zealot going after the believers. And he was following one of the greatest and strongest religions of the world. And he had, from the religion, he had the right and the direction to go and do what he was doing. There was a problem. It was a false religion. There was a problem. God had determined for his glory to be shown a different way in Paul's life. So now in verse 6. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near to Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? The Lord said to me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Listen to this. Go there and you will receive this. All the things which are appointed for you to do. Verse 11. And since I could not see the glory of the light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. He stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. And they listened to him until this word. And they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from this earth, for he is not fit to live. I want you to know the section of scripture we're in is the middle of Paul playing the piano. I want you to know that we are in a section of scripture of where Paul is reaching, which I would say at all points, Paul just lived his life greatly for the Lord. But God had determined that Paul would be glorifying God in this context. And when Paul got there, he did it with a great amount of excellence. The testimony in which he's telling them. So he's standing before them, as you can see. I'm not even paraphrasing this. Hear my defense before you. Just listen to him. He's saying, listen, hear my defense. This is what Jesus did. This is what he said. This is the communication that I had from him. And let me tell you something. As he was recounting back these things to him, Let me tell you something. He knew exactly what they believed. He knew that. And guess what else he knew? He knew the hot points. He knew the things that were going to set them off. You ever meet somebody you know, you start to figure out how to push their buttons? I have a great friend of mine at work, and him and I know exactly what to do if we want to push each other's buttons. And sometimes we do it just for fun, I think. We really do. It's a joy. It's actually a good working environment. I really do enjoy it. He knows me that well. He really does. And we joke about it sometimes. Paul knew what he would be upset about. Paul knew that the testimony of God, though in the glory of God, had to be spoken through these words. And he knew when he told them the words of God that they would be upset about it. But he didn't withhold. He didn't withhold. He declared the exact words to them because he had no other choice. So how do you know that? Well, let me just reach back, and you already know, most of you may know this about Paul, but let me just remind you about what when Paul, because he's given the account here before them, but just a little bit further words back in Acts chapter 9, you can turn there, you can listen, and this is this really the same account that he's given before them, but just listen to what Christ said to him. This is Acts 9 and verse 10. It says, the same account we just read about, and so here's Ananias in verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas of the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. Listen to this. Before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. This conversation happened before he went to Paul. What I want you to notice is the clear direction that God had for his glory. God had a very clear direction for his own glory. He told him, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He will declare these things before kings and before Jerusalem and through the Gentiles. What I love about Scripture is that it puts it in the context of reality of God's creation. What I love about Scripture is if anybody's never really read much of Scripture, they would never understand this because they think it's just this really big, weird, or this book that's over-spiritual book that they can't really understand, which I would say the Spirit of God is necessary to understand it, but I will say that God reveals back to us our own natures, and you see every single time that God has a calling for his glory, man says, wait a second. There's always something working against it at times. Ananias says, okay, let's just get this right. Let's just get this clear, Lord, before I go. You know who he is, right? You know what he has power to do, right? So you're telling me to go to this man who has been binding up, throwing people in prison, and you want me to go to him. I don't know if there was one word spoken, but the word given to us in Scripture is the Lord gave him a response. Go. He sent him. And almost you see the same response even in our own text. When Paul himself is saved and has God redeems him, and he's there, even in our own text. He's there, and he's praying before the Lord, and then the Lord tells him, listen, you need to leave here, right? You need to leave this place. And for him, he's thinking there's protection there. Because if you hear, he says, listen, if I go out, Lord, they know of everything I've done. You're going to send me out to your church? They're going to... He's a logical man. Lord, do you not know? Or not? He's not questioning the Lord. He just is going back to him and saying, let's clarify something. You do remember, I was at the feet of Stephen when they stoned him. And they know it. That's where I was. And you're going to tell me to go? What did the Lord say? Go. Right? Paul, you're going to go. Paul was doing exactly in our text what God had called him to do. He was doing exactly the things that God had called him. And this is an important connection for us to make this morning. It's really important if we're going to, before we ever get to ourselves, just make a connection that when you read about God working towards his glory, that he is sending and he is declaring where they should go. And so many of these words, as Paul even uses in our own text, he's like, I saw him saying to me, so I said back to the Lord in declaration. And then even this, then the Lord said back to me. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you from here to the Gentiles. This whole dialogue. This all is a testimony about Christ. Paul had no other desire to talk about anything else. He had no other desire. He had no other desire than to glorify God at this moment. That's what was going on in our text. Now, I want to stop at the next spot and just look at, well, what was the result of this? And what was the response? I just want to stop for a second and really see what the true result is of Paul taking this opportunity before them. Because many will just read this and be like, oh, man, he crossed the line. This is really where they got so mad they grabbed him, right? Like, we're not taking this anymore. Listen, let me tell you what the real response, let me tell you what the real result of what we just read. Before Paul was saved, Jesus Christ said, my glory will be seen here. Somehow God knew in time, because he doesn't live in time. He knew that in time, and this is what I want to stress to you, because so many people can't grasp how God can look forward and really put you in the context of, he is preparing me to glorify him here. And really, all the steps along the way. Paul, at that moment, and through this, he's lining up with the glory of God, taking the opportunity in his life. Those are in complete harmony in our text right now. That's where they're absolute harmony. God's glory is being seen. It's exactly what happens, and we have so many spots in Scripture that tells us how these things go on, but just to give you one, I want to read to you Romans chapter 11. Because I want you to be shaping in your mind that how great it is when we can see the glory in which God is pointing towards himself and lining up with that. Romans 11 and verse 33. Remember where we read, TJ read this morning about being created in the womb and all those things. You start thinking about that and you're like, oh, that's... And some people actually think too highly on themselves. They're like, oh, yeah, I was wonderfully made. No, he's really showing you what he can do. But it's marvelous. But even in Romans 11 says, oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Who has first given to him, and it shall be paid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Can I read that one more time to you? I don't know if that's sinking over you like it is me when I read this, but for of him, and through him and to him. So you're catching this, right? Of him, everything has come from him. We realize that he is the creator. He's created all things. And it's through him that all these things not only be created, but they continue to be sustained. And to him, back to him, are all things. All things are going back to him in praise. Some things are in praise because it reveals the opposite of who he is. And so it's the wrath of God. It's the disobedience of God that even reveals his goodness. But he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Help me out. What's not included? What's not included? I think God intended everything to be included. I think he was pretty clear on that, right? All things. Again, I love scripture again because sometimes I need simplicity. All things. Okay, I grasp that. How does that work? How does that work? How does the glory of God work in all things? I'm really wanting to jump to us here in a second. I want to jump to myself, but well, the next verse kind of does that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. You see that? Scripture just lays it out. Everything's for his glory. Now you have an opportunity. Everything is for God's glory. You have the opportunity. But it's going to take presenting yourself before him as a sacrifice. And he says it's a reasonable service unto him. And you're going to have to look for the perfect will of God. Paul got that. Let's just say Paul got God's glory, my opportunity. And the result was God, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul nailed it. Another result of this, though, that I want you to know, is that every time, in all cases, let's just say this, another result of God's glory, there is always something is working against it. God, just as he created, he's given us so many physical properties to make this clear. There's light and there's darkness, right? Turn the light switch on, darkness goes away. If you jump off something, there's gravity. There's floating, which in space we'd have it, but here we have gravity. There's so many physical laws around us and so many things that God has used to point to himself. But as we see who God is and that he has a desire for his glory, at every spot he just says, guess what? There's going to be an opposing force for that. There's an opposition to that. It's not God, in a sense, God is glorifying and then everything else is in a state of neutrality. And that's kind of what we think sometimes, and that's how if you listen, that's how some people just perceive it. It's like this. Hey, listen, God may be real, or okay, someone may say, God, I know God exists, I'm just not very interested in him. That's just reality. It really is reality, and some people are living around this world as if it's just not important. Guess what? I get that. I've lived that way. I know what it means in my flesh that I'm just controlled by that. But I was never in a state of neutrality is the difference. And God's glory is so huge and so important to him. He has told us from the beginning of time, my creation does not live this way before me. He has given examples from the beginning of the pages of Scripture all the way through that you will see God saying, hey, listen, you follow after me. I'm just telling you, I've created you. I've made all these things, and so many things have pointed to it. But if you work against that, I'm just telling you, not only will you be opposing me, but it will not be good for you. It will not be good. A lot of people don't like to use the word cursings. On, you know, some people don't want to curse. That's a different issue. But cursings, like God's going to be upset with people and actually going to do things against them. Well, yeah, but you know what? It's not like God's just sitting there like this vindictive God of, oh, I can't wait. It is, I'm this good and this glorious. I cannot accept anything other than. We don't do that with our kids. We don't do that with our own kids. There's certain standards we hold our own children to. There's certain things we hold them to. I'm just telling you, God holds his glory in high esteem. But understand, please, that there's a result that always, at the response to God's glory, there's an evil working against it. And what we saw in our text in Acts chapter 22 is that when they heard the words that Christ was sending Paul to the Gentiles, that the Savior of the world, as they knew they were declaring, is going to the Gentiles. Done. Reject it 100%. Those Gentiles are not going to be saved. Those Gentiles are not, they're not who we are. We are the chosen people is who we are. We are it. Our religious system is it. The problem is it wasn't Christ. It was a huge work against the glory of God. So they rejected it. And they said, you know what, Paul? Away with you. You're not fit to live. Please know that as we go forward, we're going to start to see many things. But one thing you're going to see this morning is already that as Paul glorifies God, one of the first things you're going to notice is that there's an opposing force, a force that will reject it. Now, does that happen in everybody's life? Everywhere. I'm just telling you, there is at no point that you're going to receive anything differently. There is always going to be that. So what I want to do is, if you understand that's what's going on in Paul's life, you understand the reason for our text and the reason that these things were happening in Paul's life, it was for God's glory, and you see how he's taking the opportunity. I want to take away from this, and I want to say, well, what direction has he given you or me? What direction? Because here's what a lot of times we do with a text like this. Well, listen, this is just something special that was going on, right? Acts is full of special things. There are really some really cool things that happen in Acts that we don't see happening in other times of that God has done. I mean, it's like looking back to when God did all kinds of things, when the earth was flooded or when creation was made, all different things that God has done. And in Acts, we see some really cool things. And sometimes we look at a guy like Paul and we see that and we say, you know what? Yeah, but Nathan, Christ gave Paul really clear direction on how to glorify him, right? That's what you just told us. Not only did he give it to him, he gave it to Ananias. So it's not really fair, Nathan, because I may not be playing the piano, glorifying God very clearly, but I may not have as clear of direction as Paul had in his life. So I want to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Before I read it, if you saw in Paul's life a transformation from Christ and you saw a passion to glorify God, that's what we read. You see in Scripture, Paul had a passion to do it, and he did it. Okay, now you say, well, that's Paul. Okay, that's why we have Scripture. God wanted to show us Paul. I would want you to hear this and see that as a believer, as someone who's trusting in Christ, there will be a yearning here. And I want you to know why the yearning's there, and I want you to know that the calling is just as clear on your life. It says, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Let me just stop for a second. You see all the helps coming in here? Hey, guess what? We needed help. The Spirit of God given to us for help. That's what you see, and it's longing. It's working according to the will of God. And this is why also really important that you understand who it's working for. Who are we talking about? Are we talking about you or are we talking about God? Who are we talking about? We're talking about God being glorified. It's not going to be all about, look at my legacy I left behind. No, what is the will of God? And he says, "And we know that all things work together." Here's this great verse. "For good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Right? Okay, calling. Here's that word. Called according to his purpose. We love to own this verse and, hey, everything's working out great for me. No, everything's working out great for God's glory. That's who it's working out good for. It's not, hey, everything's working great for me. No, everything is working for his purposes. And you will be subject to that. He will take you, and if he has to, he will chasten you. If he has to let tribulation come, it will come. Whatever his determination is, whatever his purpose is on your life, it's coming. And it will be good because it's his purpose. "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified." What are you doing with your life? Because that's what God is doing. What are you doing with your life? Scripture tells us your life is not your own. Try to save it and you're going to lose it. Try to save your life. Try to add one thing to it. Try to protect your life in some degree. And I'm just telling you, do whatever you think you need to do to try to save it. And enjoy every last bit of it. You're going to lose it. Let me read you a few things I just wrote down that I didn't even go back to all the scripture, but I probably should have, but these are the things that I know the scripture declares. Your name is written in the book of life. It's written. Your name is there. He physically puts it there as it's accounted for. When Christ was on the cross, specifically, my stinking sins were there. Every one of them was somehow in the knowledge, and that's where it's just through knowledge. I can't understand that. That's what my particular sins, when the blood, it says his blood was being spilt as that, the drop, it required blood. As the blood was coming out somewhere, the knowledge of my sin was there. My boundaries of my life. TJ read it in a text. My boundaries are set. He determined at what time I would be born and where I would be born. My boundaries have been set by him.
my hairs of my head have been numbered. Every little detail of my body, there's not one that he does not know about. Every medical issue you could think of, he knows about. He created the atom. He knows the substance of all of those things. He knows our DNA. He knows every thought that I make, and he says it's captive before him. There's not a single thought. Man, I hate reading that one, but it's one of my favorite verses. It's Hebrews chapter 4. There's not a single thought that he doesn't know. My days have been numbered. There is nothing taking me out of this world before it's my time. There's no car. There's no gun. There's no disease. There's no COVID-19. There's nothing that is going to shorten my days. It's just the reality. The limits of what I can endure are set. Ooh, didn't mean to do that. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, waking me up all the time. He says he will not tempt me beyond what I'm able. The limits of my sin are somehow buffeted by Jesus Christ. That he knows. And not only that, he says in every single one of them, the way of escape's there. You're going that way. I got your escape. I got the way in which you can glorify me. Every one of you has received a direct call from God. And when you can wrap your mind around things that God has said and he has deemed that are good for his purposes, you will look to glorify him and stop avoiding it. What I mean is you will stop avoiding it. It's an avoidance away from God's glory to not give it to him. You're avoiding God's glory by not giving him the glory. When you wrap your head around all things are for his purposes, then all things mean all things, and you will start to live like this is included in the glory of God. I cannot declare something that is good to be bad. If he has determined for it to be good, then it is good. Ecclesiastes 7:10 just says, hey, some will say, well, hey, the former days were better than these. It says, for you to not inquire wisely concerning this. You don't know what you're saying. And the good old days. We'll be saying that one day in America. We already are. Man, the good old days of 2019. Right? Those were different times, right? That wasn't very long ago. Those days were better than these days. The glory of God says, no, it's not. The glory of God says, you do not inquire wisely. You can't even determine the times. You are wrong. Because I have declared my glory to be seen. And I have given you the opportunity to follow after me. Now, what are you going to do with that? I'm going to declare Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, and though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and the troubled be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling, all these things, though all this stuff happens, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just in the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth? Listen to this. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. He's not saying, don't respond to him. But when something happens and you're looking for the way to run away from the glory of God, he's saying, look, be still. I'm here in the midst of this. Know that I am God in all these things. When the whole world seems like it's shaking, he's saying, hey, I get it. The mountains seem like they're moving. I get it. Anything you think would be secure is being shaken. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what opportunities God has given to you. I know he's called you, but I don't know all the opportunities there. I want you to think about this, though. Think for a second. Where are you glorifying God with your family? Spouse, kids, relatives. Where are you with glory? Where is God getting the glory? Again, him and the family. Can you define it? Can you identify it? Where are you in your work relationships? Where are you in your dating relationships? Where are you in your church relationships? Whatever title you can put to this, right? It's like go home, get a piece of paper. Take a little time, all right? You got it. God's given it to you. You're still breathing. Thank you, Lord. I'm still breathing. Now, where in the world, God, do you want glory? Where should your glory be seen? If we can't put it on the paper, then, guys, I'm just telling you, it's probably not happening, right? And then look to the scripture. What does it mean? How do I respond in these areas? Think about it. In everything, every major issue, wars, what's my opinion on it? COVID-19, what is my opinion? How am I living my life in relationship to COVID-19? Have a response that glorifies God, whatever that is, right? But make sure you have a response to it. Make sure in your home you have a response to God's glory. What is he doing? And if you're not glorifying him, then we need to start somewhere. So I want to give you one more illustration as we close out. Is where I figured I'm going to start. I know some of you are a little nervous. I had Javin try to teach me that a few minutes before the worship service. I've never played the piano in my life, and that really wasn't that great. But dadgummit, we got to start somewhere with glorifying God. I don't know where you're at. You may not be able to play the piano like Javin. I can't play the piano like Javin. But I'm concerned that as you walk out today, you say, I've got a passion. I've got a passion for glorifying God. And I know what it looks like. And I know the scripture that's related to. You have the opportunity. You got it. God's given it to you. Man, how cool would it be to live that way? Let's just start this. That's the coolest thing I've ever done on a piano. We're here for you. Go tell somebody. Go tell your spouse. Go tell your spouse one step, one note. This is what I know that God's glory wants to be seen in my family. Go tell them. Go share it with somebody. Because you know what? If you're keeping it to yourself, that's great. But I don't see that's where God has moved us to keep it, right? Go tell somebody. Make it clear. Go tell one of your growth. Go get involved in one of your growth groups. Tell your growth group leader. Tell somebody in your growth group. I mean, I see the glory of God in this area. This is what God is doing. I know God is doing this. Or go tell somebody, you know what? Hey, man, I'm messing it up. I'm not giving God glory. There's a dadgum spirit of evil that is working against the glory of God in my life. It is attacking me left and right, trying to steal God's glory, and I know what's happening. Tell somebody that. Scripture says confess your sins to one another, so you can do that. I'm just asking you to live with him with a passion. So let us pray. Father, we sit before you. We sit before you, Father, and knowing through your word that you have done so many things to make your glory known throughout time. It's awesome. I love your word. I see so many examples of it. And then I love the fact that you've given me the opportunities in my life that to glorify you. I hate that I fail in sometimes. But Father, you're in that too. You're chastening us back. So Father, I'm asking for my own life, but my brothers and the people that are here that I love and care for, will you work in us to make it a reality, a real issue of whether we're glorifying you? Will you make that a big issue? Is that worth it of our time? Is it worth it of our prayers? Father, I know it is. So develop us as a church, as individuals before you. Let us sing the songs before you. Let us follow after you in everything that we do. Quite truthfully, Father, I could just sit right here before you. When I could sit here and as I heard Javin play, I just said, keep going, man. Keep hitting them keys. Father, I could just sit before you for much longer than this. I thank you. I thank you because you're real. I thank you because you have done what your word says you've done. It's strengthened my faith in you. I thank you for the people you've given me. Thank you for the circumstances you've given me. Let that be for your praise. And Father, help us even as we go from now, as we transfer into the Lord's Supper. Lord, Father, let it have meaning to us. In your name, amen. Amen.